Well, welcome to you all. It's lovely to have you join with us today on our time of family worship. And I'm Guy, and I'm today joined by Andrew. Andrew, lovely to see you with us today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm really well, Guy. Things are going well. How are you? What sort of week have you had?
Well, it's been an interesting week. I think mainly because this is how exciting life is. I've been into the town, and I've been into... Well, in the end, my glasses have been causing me some problems, some structural challenge with them. And so I didn't have to plead with the optician, but they did very kindly agree to see me on an essential basis, because if I have another structural problem, then I really am stuffed. So, we had an interesting experience of going to have my eyes tested, and all went well. And fair play to the opticians. They did a really good and professional job. And the great news is that my eyesight is better than when I last went. I can't get any new glasses without an eye test, as you'd expect. And my eyes are better. So, a result.
So your eyes are improved, but are we going to get the chance to see some spanking new glasses in the future?
Yeah, I don't know how different they'll be to these ones, though. So it might be a spot the difference. I have to see if I have a little quiz, see who can spot whether the old ones or the new ones are on. But you'll notice a difference in the bank balance. That's absolutely for sure.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, so that'll be for another day. But yeah, we'll see. I'll put them on one day and see if anybody spots the difference. Thank you. Anyway, it's we should come to worship, and we do so gladly. And last week we were really blessed and enjoyed greatly watching and sharing with Flames as they shared some of their experiences in this time. And Mir, who's a part of that Flames group, is going to read to us now from Psalm 42, and then we're going to use that psalm as an introduction to our worship today.
As the deer longs for streams of water, I so long for you, O God. Thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers leading great processions to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Saviour, my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas, as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to the God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, "Where is this God of yours?" Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Saviour.
So a very lovely psalm there, and a psalm which speaks of very powerful things in people's lives. And it's one of my favourite psalms. Certainly the opening part I've used a lot as we've come to worship when we've been together in church. And those words, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." They're words which remind us of that real inner desire that we should have in wanting the living water that is the Lord himself. And I guess too, it's great that we have the promise, in certainly as Jesus speaks, and certainly in John's Gospels he speaks and reminds us that he is the living water, and he is more than ready and more than willing to spiritually nourish us in our hearts and our lives. And as we come to this time together now in worship, pray that our hearts would indeed be full of passion and desire for the living God who gives us that real life in all of its fullness. But there is as well another part which I think is very important and just timely as well. We've thought about the when of when we might come to be together again in church. And as we come down to verse 4 of Psalm 42, the psalmist here says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God." And it's a tremendous picture, really, of the Old Testament church as they went up to the temple together as a nation under God and a people under God. And I think sometimes we can think of the temple worship was very cold and very functional and a bit distant. But certainly as you read the Psalms, you very much get the sense that the people of God were going up with a joy in their hearts to praise God and to do so together. You know, worship is not just an individual thing as God intended. It's also that sense of sharing our lives together and sharing our worship together. And the psalmist here longs for that time, and I guess we long for that time too, when we can be together physically as well to share our lives in a much fuller way. But in the meantime, we meet here in this way. We trust that God would continue to bless us as we meet together. Now, there's really only one song we could sing, isn't there, on the back of that? And we sing the song, "As the Deer Pants for the Water," and these words, "So my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you." Trusting that's our experience, let's join together as we sing and share in this song together now. Hope you found that helpful and enjoyed singing that lovely song. Now we're going to come to God in prayer. And after I've prayed, Andrew's going to lead a talk, particularly for the younger people in our church family. So let's join together in prayer, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in worship before you. We thank you for the provision that we have through technology to meet at least in this way in these times. And we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that you are always present with us and that you're with us now. And our Father, we long, as the psalmist says, we long for you. We long for more of you. We long that our hearts and lives and our spirit might be full of the living, powerful, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we meet together in this way, we ask that you'd help us this morning. Help us as we work through our time together, that it would be a time full of praise and wonder. It'll be a time of help as we read your word and study it together, that you would feed and nourish our Christian lives, and that we'd be really encouraged together as we meet in this way, that you would speak to us and help us, that you would be our strength and our rock, and that you would bless this time to us, we pray. So as we set into this time now, we ask and we seek your blessing and your help for all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, boys and girls, young people, everybody else, at this stage, we're going to have a bit of a visual quiz about monuments and statues and sculptures that are around Ipswich. It's a bit in the news at the moment, and in and around Ipswich, there's all sorts of things that we see from time to time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show some pictures of these, and if I'm going to ask questions that go alongside those, and just join in at home, answer the questions, and points on this occasion do not make prizes, but just see how you get on answering these questions I have for you. So here we are. We have our first picture here. Simple questions, short answers. And here's the first picture. Some of you may pass it on the way to church. And the question is, why is there a sergeant major on this corner? Why is there a sergeant major on this corner? Bit of a cartoon character, isn't he? He's got his fly swats there. Why is he here? And the answer is, for 1 point, because it's Major's Corner. Moving on to our second picture, second question. What is the name and title of this person? What is the name and title of this person? If you look at it, you can see he liked cats. He always had a cat round about him. He's down there on the left-hand side as we look at it. I think you'll have seen it. So for 1 point, the answer is Cardinal Wolsey. Now, across the road from him, we see this Russian prince, Prince Alexander Obolensky. And the question here is, what sport did he play for England? What sport did he play for England? If you study the picture, and you have a look at it, I think there's a real clue there that will lead you to the answer. And so for 1 point, the correct answer is, yes, it's rugby, isn't it? You see that ball that he's holding. And it's quite interesting, back in 1936, he scored 2 tries against the All Blacks. And we England, that is, defeated them on that occasion. Now, heading up the street in towards town, we come to this. What is the name of this family? Some of you will have seen this. What is the name of this family? And the answer is that it's the Giles family. It's from the newspaper cartoon. 1 point for that. And an extra point on this one, if you can give me the name of the newspaper that the cartoons appear in. So you might need some help with that. What is the name of the newspaper that the Giles cartoons appear in? I'll give you a moment to think about that and come back to that later on. Now we're heading out of town a little bit, we have this picture here of this fisherman. And the question is, where is this fisherman? Where is it located? And I'm looking for either the name of the road, or I'll take the big supermarket that it's near. Where is it? I don't know why we've got a fisherman there. It could be because of the link that Ipswich has with the sea, but in terms of fishing, you think of Lowestoft and Aldborough and Great Yarmouth. Maybe somebody can tell me, why is there a fisherman there? But the question is, where is it? And the answer for one point is, it's in Hadley Road, just by the entrance to Sainsbury's. On that question about the newspaper, the answer for that is the Daily Express. So I hope some of you got that right. And question number six, what do you think this piece of street art is called? What is it called? Just think of what it is and you'll get close to the answer. It's outside a university where people are meant to develop kind of inquiring minds, trying to work things out. So one point on this, and the answer is it's called question. But if you get anything near to that, you can have a point for that. So out of seven, how did you do? Perhaps shout out your answer and I might be able to hear you. Did anyone get 7 points on that quiz? Or six? Or five? Well done to everyone who's joined in with that this morning. And that question mark, it brings me on to a question. You know, Ipswich is full of monuments and statues and things. We've got a couple of football managers down by the football ground. We've got a war memorial. We've got plaques on walls. As you go around and you see these, my question, have you got a favourite? Have you got one that really stands out for you, one that you really enjoy? Because I have. We're thinking about these things in and around Ipswich, and I have one that I want to show you now. It's on the edge of Ipswich. It's quite big. It's quite plain. If you go to Wisbeach, you'll actually find a statue of this person, which is far grander and far bigger than what we've got here. But here we are, this obelisk, this kind of granite needle-looking thing. We have a street named after him. He has his name in Westminster Abbey. And he used his life to do something really good. It was hard, it was challenging, but he and his friends, with God's help, made a real difference. And this obelisk, which is by the church in Playford, is erected here in his memory. And his name was Thomas Clarkson. On the obelisk, it says these words, "The friend of slaves." And he lived about 200 years ago when terrible things happened. People used to go to Africa and they would round up people and take them out of their homes. And they would cram them into boats and they would sail them across the Atlantic. And they would sell them and force them to be slaves, to work on the farms and on the plantations. And it was very cruel and it was very harsh. And some people even didn't survive the journey. It was a terrible thing that used to happen all those years ago. And Thomas Clarkson and a number of friends, they really felt that this was wrong and that they had to do something about it. From the time he was a student and found out about these terrible things, he really gave his life to try and change it. He researched it, he found out about it, he talked about it, he wrote about it. He used to go around to meetings and he used to show people the chains and the shackles that were used to enslave these people. He also discovered that these people could do wonderful artwork and create beautiful things, and he showed those to people as well to sort of say, look, these are people just like us who've got real skills. They're not second-rate people. We're all the same, and they should be treated in the same way and with the same dignity that we have. And he and his friends, it took something like 45 years working in Parliament and trying to persuade people to bring a big change, first of all by making it illegal to sell slaves in 1807, and then in 1833, I think it was, or 34 thereabouts, making it a law that it wasn't right to own a person as a slave. And I think we can be really proud that here in Ipswich, for 25 years, just on the edge there at Playford, Thomas Clarkson, he lived there and he worked hard to bring freedom and a good life to people who were being treated like this. And it's very interesting inside the church, and when the church reopens, you can go and look at this. I'd encourage you to go and look at it all. It says that when he died, he was trusting in the Lord Jesus. And I thought that was lovely, because he wasn't saying, oh, look at the great things I've done. God should be really pleased with me because of that. No, he knew that ultimately, if he was going to go to heaven, it wasn't based on what he had done, but the fact that he trusted in the Lord Jesus. And he said this, he said that if he could have his life over again, he'd do exactly the same thing, because he thought that the cause and the thing that he was doing was so important and so precious that he would gladly give his life to doing the same thing again. And as you're watching this morning, you've got your life ahead of you, some of you. I wonder what you'll be able to do to bring really good change into other people's lives, just like Thomas Clarkson did. So he's my Ipswich hero. I think he's tremendous.
Andrew, thank you. That was really it. Do you know some of the things you, I mean, I've lived here lots and lots of years, and some of the things you don't, I knew the rugby one, but certainly some of the stuff around Thomas Clarkson was new to me as well. So thank you for sharing that with us. And
I think he's brilliant. You know, God helped him. He gave his life in serving others. I think it's an amazing thing. And I've just remembered that in the library, not the library, in the museum, there's a whole section about him as well. It's very, very interesting.
Right.
It'd make a fantastic project if someone had to write about something.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Well, we move on to the next part of our time together this morning. And in this past week, Andrew's had opportunity to catch up with Simon Scott. Simon is Director of Christian Youth Ministry, CYM, who is a church we've supported for many, many, many years. And CYM work with children and young people in our town, supported by Christians and churches as well. And there's been some changes within CYM, and Simon shared some of those changes for us, and we're going to watch. And then in our time of family prayer, we'll remember the work of Simon and CYM in these times.
So this morning I'm joined by Simon Scott from CYM. It's really great to see you this morning, Simon. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, doing really well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's nice to share with you this way. So good morning to your church as well. Good morning.
Lovely. It's great to have you here. And now, Simon, you're involved with CYM. And for some of the folk watching today, they just won't really know what CYM is and perhaps what your role is in that. So I wonder if you could just say a wee bit about that for us.
Yeah, of course. CYM stands for Christian Youth Ministries. We're a charity based not far from your church building in Ipswich. And this is now our 38th year as a charity. So moving rapidly towards 40 years. A charity set up originally by a number of ministers across the town who wanted to see the Christian message shared within schools and with young people and sort of look at a partnership and a collaborative way to do that. And that was the early part of the charity. And developed in lots of different ways over those 30 to 40 years to the point we're at today. Currently, as a charity, we deliver chaplaincy into a number of schools across our town. So 12 or 13 different locations across Ipswich, where we have a school chaplain placed. And we also have been running a residential primary school children's project as well out at Sizewell Hall. My role in all of it is that I'm the director. I'm now in my eighth year of that. And my role really is to oversee the vision and the strategy for the charity, working closely with our trustees, and then looking after our staff team and how we deliver that.
And, you know, I can certainly say on behalf of our church that, you know, over the years we've benefited fantastically, amazingly from the work of CYM. Many of our young people have been to all sorts of weekend activities, residential. Some of them have been part of the team. It's really been instrumental in helping them spiritually. And as a church, we've been so grateful for the link and partnership that we've had. Now, clearly, recent circumstances with Corona have affected everything. In what ways has that affected the ministry you're able to deliver?
Yeah, it's put a stop to a lot of it, to be perfectly honest. We got to a few weeks before Easter, and obviously this was really starting to become a real issue across our nation. We were looking at it quite closely, and initially We were trying to continue to offer our chaplaincy in schools where possible. But as the different restrictions and measures came in as to how many people could be in school and how they were doing that, that changed the picture of that quite significantly, to a point where just before Easter, we literally put the majority of our team on furlough. It just wasn't possible for chaplains to be in schools in the way that they normally would. We have fortunately been able to keep two chaplains going, which has been brilliant. So Lorraine, who's our chaplain at Suffolk One Sixth Form Centre, she's been doing loads of support for students and staff virtually. So that's been great. And then Mark, who's one of our chaplains in a pupil referral unit, has still been going in 3 or 4 times a week and supporting students and staff that way. So that's been sort of the bright light in it. For the rest of the chaplains, they've been on furlough. For African Adventure as a project that we run, which runs from about April time of the year through to about September, October, this couldn't have been timed more poorly. It's basically meant that every single booking has been cancelled. So we've been unable to deliver African Adventure at all and will not be able to deliver it for the rest of this season.
Sure. Would it be fair to say, for people perhaps who don't understand what African Adventure is, if I said it was similar to a school journey, would that be an appropriate way to talk about it?
Where I think so.
Perhaps a year six group might go off and be there for 3 or 4 days and get immersed in a semi-African type culture and learn all sorts of different skills. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. A real week of team building and building relationship, getting to know each other, following an African theme that weaves through the week. We've been running that for about 15 years now, and that's been popular with primary schools, mainly across Suffolk. But yeah, that's pretty much what it does. And yeah, it's come to a real grinding halt.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, everything has, hasn't it? And particularly working with school pupils, it's just been totally different for everyone, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We're conscious, Simon, in the last few days, you yourself and the trustee, you've put out a statement on behalf of the trustees, a very helpful video that many of us have had the chance to see. Quite significant changes that you've had to think through. Do you want to say a wee bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been moving towards a position anyway where we thought we were going to have to make a few changes to our staffing. That was always going to be a financial decision. We had a really unexpected legacy come to us about 3 or 4 years ago, and we took the really brave step to say we were just going to spend it, and we were going to spend it on members of staff and really get out there and keep trying to do what we thought we were there to do. Obviously, our desire had been that other funding may come to sustain that work, but we were always realistic that that might not be the case. And we're close to getting to that point that we knew was coming. However, Corona's then obviously come along and accelerated a lot of things. One of those has been with African Adventure not being able to run, because the income from African Adventure in a 6-month period not only covers the project for that time, but covers a number of members of staff for the rest of the financial year as well. It's the one thing that we really charged for and made a little bit of money for the charity to keep things going. So that's obviously been really difficult, and we've had to make some decisions regarding that as a project. We won't be running any of the activities this year at Sizewell Hall for African Adventure. And we've now also made the decision that African Adventure, as it's known, is going to come to an end. And we're going to explore and look at new ways of offering residential ministry, as we will call it. So that has quite a few knock-on effects. It means some staff will move on from CYM at the end of the school summer term. And that's obviously difficult. And also we're bringing to the end a project. So it's been about 15 years in the running. And so many people who've been involved in that and invested in that. So many supporters who've supported it financially and prayerfully. Just a whole host of people who volunteered on a really regular basis during the summer to make that thing work. And so it's been a really tough decision to bring that to an end, but we're absolutely at peace with the decision that's been made. We really feel that God has been leading us to a point where we need to find something different to do in this field, and the options that we looked at are just options that couldn't work at this time.
I think it's right to remember that things have seasons. And that's not a cop-out, but, you know, things do have seasons. There are times when you say, well, we've got an opportunity here, and you sort of plough that furrow and you go for it. But things don't last forever. And I think the important thing is to look back and say, we did it as well as we could when we could. And many, many people have been involved, as you say, and many, many people have had their lives enriched through that experience.
Thank you.
Yeah. And in terms of school as well, the chaplaincy side at the moment, that's difficult, I guess, too.
Yeah. Like I said, there's a couple of people who are still working, and we're starting to have some early tentative conversations with schools about some of the other guys returning. So I think that's really positive, and I think there are real opportunities for the guys to get back. Whether that will be before the end of the school year, we just don't know at the moment. But we really hope that come September, most, if not all, of the chaplains will be involved in their schools again in some shape or form. I can't imagine, like anything else, it's going to look as it did. But, you know, we need to adapt to that and work with that. One of the really great things that we found with chaplaincy in the last year is we've got more and more schools who are now contributing towards the cost of their chaplain. So the viability, the sustainability of that role going forward is in a much better place than it would have been maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So that's something for us to be really excited about. And what I really hope is that that means that will give us opportunities to approach more schools to try chaplaincy elsewhere within the town, because we may just be in a different financial position once we're through all that we're going through at the moment.
So along with so many activities, in some ways you've had to face a shutdown, a shuddering stop almost. But you know, looking beyond this, you know, do you feel optimistic about the possibilities of being back there in schools again and doing what CYM was founded for?
Totally. We couldn't be more sure and have more hope that we're doing the right thing with chaplaincy. We also really believe that some form of residential ministry is still important. We really believe God's spoken into that in a number of ways through a number of different things and people. So we're going to explore that carefully in the future. Yeah, couldn't be more excited about what's to come. I'm just raring to get back.
And it's been a strange time for you personally. I mean, how have you found it? How are you?
Yeah, it's been bizarre. I'm currently working this week. I've been allowed to work for a week, but I'll be back on furlough again. And I've been on furlough for the majority of the time that this has been going on. So it's very, very strange. It's really difficult to lead an organisation when the majority of people are on furlough. And my heart is people. And so it's that balance of how far can I go with contacting people? What sort of conversations can we have? But one of the really encouraging things for us is that the team has met regularly on a daily basis to pray, and people have dipped in and out of that. So there's been some lovely support going on that way. And that's been really encouraging and supportive to me. Yeah. And then one of the other big things I've been going through is I'm homeschooling my two children. So neither of them fall into the year groups that look like they'll be going back to school either. So the homeschooling continues. And in all honesty, furlough is a blessing, because managing two guys, trying to get them through their schoolwork and do a normal working week, was just really difficult to do at the beginning. So
it would have been a stress.
Been very helpful for me.
So for you, the trustees, the team, quite a challenging time. Is there anything that's particularly helped you, perhaps personally, through this? I mean, in terms of the Lord's help in this situation?
Yeah, I think there's been a real personal challenge to me to spend far more time with God than I was doing before, and make it far more of a priority. And it will without a doubt be more of a priority moving forward. There was clearly time needed for me to block out time to spend time with God intentionally. And I'll need to do that more and more moving forward, and I'll want to do that. So that's been great. And God has really encouraged us through supporters. I'll be really honest. The messages of support and hope that have pinged through on emails or have been left on the office phone as a message, things like that, have just been so helpful. People have, you know, made contact and said, "We're thinking about you. We're praying for you. We understand this is a tough time. You know, we're with you. We're standing with you." That's been so, so helpful.
Mm-hmm. And as we draw to a close, and we'll be praying about this morning, are there particular things perhaps you could just give to us that you'd like us to pray about? Two or three, something like that?
Yeah. I think firstly, the decision around African Adventure has obviously been huge. And like I said, there's a real sense of peace within the team and the trustees. But it'd be great if people could pray about that in terms of how we end that and close that well. And do that properly. Schools have reacted really kindly so far, so that's been great. But if people could still pray for how the schools receive that news, that would be helpful. And then sort of linked to that, what the future looks like. Josh, who's been running African Adventure, is staying with us in a slightly different role, but he's going to explore what we might do with residential ministry and what that might look like. So some real prayers, please, for him, and particularly for God to really feed vision into him. That would be exciting to see and to hear. And then I'd ask you to just to pray for the staff team and the trustees. It's such an unknown at the moment. Lots of big decisions being made. But like I said, so much hope, so much excitement for the future. We're just desperate to get back. So prayers for when that moment is right and when God wants us back in those spaces, that actually we'll really grab those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, we must be nearer the day now than we were a week ago. So it must be coming towards us. But yeah, it's going to be very different. But Simon, it's really lovely to see you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we do value you and the work and the team. And we will continue to pray for you over the coming weeks and months as we obviously press through into the autumn. And hopefully things will really begin to open up again for
you. Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me. And thank you for your support.
Lovely. Thanks ever so much. God bless then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, we'll pray for CYM, Simon, in a moment. Just to say, hopefully you've all had opportunity to have a read of family news. And please do read it and use it for information and for prayers. I know sometimes can come in on email and we can easily lose things in the number of emails we have. So do be intentional about reading and being aware of what's going on, not just in our own church, but also a number of the ministries that we support as well and have connections with and have had for many, many years. Lots of really good and important things in there for our awareness and for our prayers as well. Particularly good to see within that mention of Bethesda, and thank you, Peter, for sharing those notes, and we will pray for the home in Romania and for Dr. Dari as well in the situations which they face as well. So thank you, Peter, for sharing those thoughts, and do wider church do pray, continue to pray for Bethesda homes at this time. So use the notes and use them for prayer, and we'll come to prayer together now to bring our church family to him. Let's join together in prayer, shall we? Our loving Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to hear from Simon about the work of CYM. We do pray for some of those things which Simon particularly mentioned. We pray for African Adventure, that it would... We thought last week about seasons coming to an end, and in a sense that is a season which is coming to an end. And we do pray that it would finish well, that those who were a part of that, who gave themselves in volunteering and in other ways, will feel encouraged and blessed in being a part of that. And as they lay down that ministry, we pray you continue to work in the lives of those children who were present that over many years, the things they learnt, and especially the things they learnt about you. There's lots of changes. We pray for Josh in moving role. We pray for exploration as to future potential with residential opportunities. Lord, guide CYM, give them wisdom, we pray. We do pray for those on the staff. Some are working, some have been furloughed. We pray for Simon, especially in leading that, and for those who are trustees of CYM, that you would really guide and direct and encourage them and just help them, we pray, in all this time of change, that the ministry that CYM exercise in the coming months and years would continue to be a real blessing to our town, to our children, to our churches, and that we would see you at work through the ministry of CYM. Father, we thank you for what we watched of flames last week. We thank you for that amazing things they showed us, enthusiasm, energy. We thank you for those who lead that ministry, and we pray for those who lead the ministry, and we pray for those who are a part of it, our youngsters. Lord, bless them. We're sure that these times are difficult in different ways, particularly around schooling and friendships and social activities that is just such a natural part of growing up, and we do pray for the members of our Flames group, that you'd really encourage and help them, and that they would know your particular work in their lives and would be aware of your work in their lives as well. Draw them close, each one of them close to you, and be their rock and their foundation, we pray. But we thank you for the encouragement we had from Flames last week. Father, it's good for us too to remember those who are more vulnerable. We continue to pray for our trustees and staff and residents and families that are connected with our Eventide homes. We thank you for the way that they have known virus-free situation so far. And we pray that that would continue. And we do pray for real help for those who give themselves such energy and enthusiasm and long hours and hard work to make that such a lovely place to live. Bless our Eventide homes, we pray. We continue to pray for those residents of Tudor Court. We thank you for the opportunity we have had to minister there and continue to minister in prayer and in support as we're able. And Father, we pray for the residents and the staff and the management and all those involved as well in our own church who have exercised a brilliant ministry there. Lord, continue to bless that work, we pray. And we thank you too for the opportunity to read and be reminded of all that's happening in Bethesda in Romania. Thank you for Peter and those who stand especially close with him in leading that work from here. And for those who lead the work in Romania and those who are resident there, Father, again, put your arms of protection around them. Keep that home free from the virus, we pray. And continue to bless that work, that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ would be seen powerfully in that home. And those who are resident and those who care and manage, that would be a real place of Christian community and love and fellowship. Continue to encourage Peter and Pat, we pray, and those who work with them. Lord, bless that ministry, we ask. And our Father, as we come in a moment to read your word and then to think about it, we do pray for the reading of your word and for its sharing with us. We ask that you'd help Andrew now as he comes to open up your word to us, that it would speak helpfully and powerfully into our lives. And this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, our reading this morning is taken from the book of 1 Kings and 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're thinking about one part of the extraordinary story of the prophet Elijah. So it'd be really good if you have a Bible with you, if you could follow with me as we read together. So 1 Kings and chapter 17, and we read from verse 1 just down into the beginning of verse 10. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to us this morning. Now Elijah knew the presence of God, and we're going to sing together another lovely song. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus is always with us, and in response our hearts should be a desire for him. It mirrors the opening song that we had today. Jesus, this is my devotion, all of my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Saviour, you're my deepest longing, you're the one I live for. Teach me, Lord, to walk with you.
Christ be in my waking as the sun is rising, in my day of working with me every hour. Christ be in my resting as the day is ending, calming and refreshing, watching through the night. Christ be in my thinking and my understanding, guarding me from evil, walking in the light. Christ be in my speaking, every word a blessing, pure and not deceiving, grace to all who hear. Jesus, this is my devotion, all my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Savior, you're my deepest longing, you're the one I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you. Christ be in my gladness for the joy of living, thankful for the goodness of the Father's hand. Christ be in my sorrow, in my day of darkness, knowing that I follow in the steps he trod.
That's a really great hymn, isn't it? And just reminding us that Christ can be with us in every circumstance of our lives. And we've read about an amazing situation today from 1 Kings chapter 17. We're emerging from lockdown. That seems to be the direction of travel for us as a country. We hope that life will be a little bit more normal for us. We've had about 3 months of it. But Elijah, he was just embarking on isolation that was going to last for much longer than 3 months. We don't know much about Elijah as he comes on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17. He just sort of arrives. But we do know about the nation of Israel and the king. Ahab was another poor leader. He was one in a long line of disappointment. And we're told in 1 Kings chapter 16 that he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. You know, we kid ourselves on when we think that God doesn't see and God doesn't care about the choices that we make and the actions that we take. Psalm 139 reminds us that you know when I rise and when I sit. And sometimes that's really comforting because it means that in the circumstances of our lives, the Lord knows about us. But there are other times when it also reminds us that he knows our thoughts. He knows what's on our heart. He knows all about the things that we do. And God knew about Ahab and his behavior. To commit the sins of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a previous king who had introduced and encouraged the worship of other gods apart from the one true God of Israel. He had encouraged them to go back and reintroduce the idols that they used to worship in Egypt, which was many hundreds of years beforehand. He discouraged his people going to the temple to worship. Guy mentioned as he reflected on Psalm 42 about the multitude going to worship together. What a great experience that was for God's people. And Jeroboam, he put a stop to that. And so people had the worship of God and the purposes of God kind of dulled in their mind and in their thinking. Compromise flooded in. Alternatives were set up. And we're told that Ahab went even further. He made wrong choices in his personal life. We know all about Jezebel. There was the state-sponsored worship of Baal. There was this massive collection of priests that were bankrolled by the state. And there was even the approval of human sacrifice. Can you imagine that? That this wicked act was seen as something that was good. Of course, all this was disastrous. And not only did it affect Israel, but of course, God is angry. You know, God is not unmoved by the issues of this world. And here God intervenes. And it's Elijah who gets the job of telling Ahab. And this was the message: as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there'll be neither dew or rain for the next few years, except at my word. And then after delivering that message, Elijah, he has to make himself scarce and get himself out of there for his own safety. It wasn't an easy or a popular message to deliver. And you know, sometimes we just want a kind of soft, comfortable, cozy, affirming faith. Somebody once put it like this, that they wanted God just to be like them, only a little bit nicer. But you know, God can't be treated like that. God says, follow me. He doesn't say, flatter me. He says, follow me. And Ahab had provoked the Lord through his compromise and his sin and his failure to lead. Elijah, as we've just thought, had to make himself scarce because God's word is not always popular. It can bring challenge, it can be uncomfortable, it can be costly to follow him. And you think of Elijah here, he did the right thing in serving God, and yet he ends up in isolation, sitting by a dwindling brook. The water is drying up as the drought takes its hold. I wonder what sort of thoughts Elijah had when he saw that. I wonder if he thought, had God perhaps forgotten him? What would his future be? Was now the time where he had to go out and fend for himself? It must have been quite a struggle for him. F.B. Meyer, a writer and preacher from some years ago, he writes about Elijah, and he makes this comparison. He says sometimes it's very difficult for us to have that sense of sitting beside a brook that is drying up. You know, the river that was vibrant and living and had energy and provided for us, it dwindles away. And sometimes in our lives we feel there are seasons where things are moving on. We don't have the physical strength we used to have. Some of the things we enjoyed doing are no longer there for us. We might have been involved perhaps in some ministry in the church and we're no longer able to do it anymore. And it can be a strange feeling when we have that sense that things are slipping away from us. and that can be challenging and difficult to cope with. F.B. Meyer says sometimes it's easier to have that sense of energy when we're taking on the prophets of Baal, like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. You know, we're in the thick of the battle and we're steaming on, and that keeps us busy and active, perhaps sometimes in an unhelpful way, but we press on. But when things seem to be slipping away, it can be very, very challenging for us. We read from Psalm 42, didn't we? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. But that psalm, although it's quite dark in places, reminds us at the end, there was encouragement to put their hope in God and to look to him and to know him in this situation. And God hadn't forgotten Elijah. He'd made provision for him. And just at the right time, he moved him on to a place where he had a home and he had food and company. And eventually, he'd be used in greater service for God. You know, the changes that we experience in life sometimes are the points where we learn many great lessons. You think of Moses, for example. For 40 years, he was a shepherd. What was going on? But actually, God was using that time to prepare him for when he would lead the children of Israel. You think of the Apostle Paul, striving to do great things for God, and yet we read about the thorn in the flesh that came and afflicted him, and how he asked God that it might be removed, but the answer was that actually it was for his good, to prevent him from being conceited. And the answer was that my grace is sufficient for you. And perhaps even through this lockdown period, perhaps there's lessons that God's been teaching you. A number of people have said to me in this past week that although the lockdown and all that's happened recently in our country, of course, has not been welcomed, in some ways, it's been a good thing. And a number of people said to me in this past week, you know, that it's been good for them to have this experience and to perhaps spend more time with the Lord and to learn to appreciate some of the things that we miss, being part of the multitude, and that there are lessons to be learned through the trials and the challenges that come into our lives. And these things are part of the preparation that God builds into our lives. You know, the things that we really remember in our lives are often the things that come through the hard experiences in our lives. So God was with Elijah during this lockdown, and it wasn't just a matter of a period where he was there to tread water. There were things that he was learning about God and his faithfulness that would be so important for him in the ministry that he was going to have in the future. Put your hope in God, and I will praise him, my Savior and my God. But of course, the big issue that was central during the time of Elijah is the way in which Ahab and Jezebel and Israel had turned away from the Lord and embraced and followed false gods. And you know, there'll always be alternatives. There'll always be other voices that are clamoring and competing for your allegiance. The first and greatest commandment, we're told in the Bible, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And turning away from that priority leads us into a type of lockdown. Israel and Ahab thought they were so progressive and they were so free in that they were embracing all sorts of ideas and traditions. They were kind of pluralistic. They were taking a bit of this and a bit of that, and if it made them feel good, they kind of just went with that. But actually, this freedom that they thought they were enjoying was really shackling them and imprisoning them. It was locking them down. And so we know about the big showdown that there was on Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings chapter 18, it's a great passage to read and encourage you to look at that again. And it's the key issue. It's about the heart allegiance of the people of God. And Elijah, he throws out this challenge, doesn't he? How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And there's a choice to be made, and there's this contest that takes place. And it's brilliant. And we see how God comes through and he lights the fire and he demonstrates powerfully to Israel that he is the one true living God and he is the one that they should be committed to and they should be following. And the Lord Jesus, he comes into our world. He dies on a cross. He comes back to life again. And it speaks to us that he wins the ultimate contest. In this whole question about, you know, who are we going to serve? Who are we going to follow with our lives? Who are we going to give ourselves to? We can be clear that to follow Christ is a good thing because the Lord Jesus Christ has proved that he is God through his resurrection and can be completely trusted. And we can give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. How long will you waver between two opinions? Perhaps you need to use some of this time that we have, this unusual time, to think about that seriously and come through to follow the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly for yourself. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus, he says this. He says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We thought earlier on about the terrible way in which people from West Africa were taken and enslaved and forcibly made to change their lives and to serve others in a cruel way. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. All of us have sinned. All of us are enslaved by this terrible thing. But Jesus goes on and he says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And Elijah, he had this great mission of telling the Israelites that they didn't need to be enslaved to following these futile false gods, that they could know liberty and freedom in following the one true God. And Jesus Christ, he comes in order that you and I might know the freedom that only he can bring, to be free from our sins, to be free from our guilt, and to have a life which is lived in purpose for him. So lockdown has lessons for us, but a reminder too that in Jesus Christ we can know the true freedom that he alone can bring.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. It's really helpful and interesting how some of these, for many of us, well-known stories and accounts in the Bible come alive in a different way as we experience a different world for all of us, and how God's word still speaks very helpfully to us. So thank you for that. Well, we're nearing the end of our time. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to say goodbye. Then we've just got a song to play out with as well, but we'll come to that in a moment. But let's firstly join together in our closing prayer. Let's pray together, shall we? Our loving Father, we thank you for the grace that you give to your people to stand, and to stand especially when times are tough. And Father, we got another perhaps insight today as to the way in which you, the challenge which Elijah faced, but the way in which you were more than sufficient for that as well. And just thank you for his life and how it continues to speak to our lives as well. And Father, we pray that we would know those lessons, and that we would be absolutely aware of the ultimate lesson, that really all true life is found in you, that you are the one in the Lord Jesus who releases us from the slavery of sin and gives us a new life and a rock on which to place our lives. And so, Father, we do thank you for time spent in your word together this morning, and indeed the time we've shared together here in our family worship. And so, Father, we pray for your blessing upon us as we go into this new week. With all that it'll hold, we ask that you'd help us to live well for the Lord Jesus, that our hearts would indeed desire for him, as we're thinking in our psalm, that we would be good witnesses of the Lord Jesus, that we would take the opportunity to share with those who need to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus, and that our lives would be marked by prayer and by the study of your word as we continue to live and grow as believers in these times. So we give you thanks for the time we shared together today. Bless us as we part now, we pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that brings us time. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for sharing so helpfully with us today. And have a good week. And
thank you.
And we're actually going to play out with a blessing. And a few weeks ago, we listened to and really enjoyed, I think, the blessing, which was a song put together with a collaboration of a wide range of churches around the country. And St. Augustine's had a dream that there might be an Ipswich version of that. And so they encouraged churches to contribute, to provide those who were able to record well and to sing and play well. And so they put that together, and we're going to play out with that now. And do look out for Shani. Shani represented the church and did really well in contribution to this. So look out for Shani, but enjoy this blessing as we finish our time together. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh. His face shine upon and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you.